maybe that's sometimes good if it's not too polished and perfect. Amen. The towel in our midst, keeping your love on in an age of skepticism. The last while, I've been really privileged, along with Pastor Andres, just to help churches getting going, whether it was Kleinmond or sending Dylan to Polokwane and Gansbaai, and then also visiting back in Secunda, seeing how those guys are doing. And what I see is the Lord doing incredible things, but at the same time, also observing people doing what people do, hurting one another, expectations not being met. And this is these two things the whole time. Wow, I experienced God's presence. I can't believe that person said that. And when you open the internet, I think the church always, of course, I mean, we're going to see it in scripture, the church always had humans in it, which means sin. But it's never been as well documented and advertised as we see today. I mean, you listen to one YouTuber that tells you how bad the church is. Your algorithm kicks in and you, this church is wrong. This church is wrong. This church is wrong. Get out. I mean, I've got a friend, well, we know one another, that wrote the book, Love Jesus, Hate Church. Broke my heart when I saw the title. And I'm just asking, Lord, how do we keep our love on in an age where everyone is an expert in showing what is wrong? And the reason I'm doing this, I feel that we're really at a healthy place. But I think part of our job as leaders is to build healthy, Christ-centered worldviews. We have people in our lives, people we are reaching out to, people we are inviting, and they see the same hurts that we see. Why are you here this morning? You are here because the Lord is working His ways into your life. Some of our friends out there, they are sensing the Lord pulling them and drawing them, but it's very hard for them to think or to consider joining a broken place like a church. Yet we are here. And when I speak to most of you, you'd say, wow, the community, the love, the closeness. What is it that keeps us here? And I think we don't always know, but I want to go and look at it to build for us a worldview and a skeptic world. Just follow me here. The broken church, unfulfilled promises and desertion. We've got Jesus speaking to Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, I am ready with you to go to prison and death. There's a promise. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. This man was a leader in a church. He told my father, don't worry, this investment is safe. My dad lost everything. I will never go back. This person, I thought she was my friend. And now, what she's telling about me, the stories, I'll never go back. I can never trust again because of unfulfilled promises and desertion. The thing is, it's been in the church all along. This is nothing new. This is Peter and Jesus. Someone might say, when my mom and dad split up, the church deserted my mom. Everyone backed my dad. We were cast out. How can I go back? These are the stories we hear about in our lives. Let's go on. Pride and self-seeking. A dispute arose among them. This happened at the end of the Last Supper, of which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And then Jesus said, it should not be among you like that, but it is like that among us many times. Isn't that true? We started something great. I was a part. I was there. It was amazing until they started to fight. Who's been a part of a church like that somewhere in your life? Yeah? And something broke. I don't know if I can go back. I remember when we arrived 2013 in Secunda to plant the church. Most churches was church splits from other churches in town. It was like walking into a war zone. You had pastors that would not greet or speak to one another. It was crazy. I was just so glad that we were planted from Stellenbosch with some engineers. And so we started afresh. But you could see the blood in the streets. So much hurt. So much expectation. Expectations missed. How do you keep your love on? How do you move to a new town and say, I'm going to join again? Because it's very important for us to answer that question. Taking it a step further, during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now it's not just someone making a mistake. We're talking about scheming and betrayal. Who somewhere in their life experienced this from a fellow Christian? Hands up, come on. Yeah? 50% of us. I thought this was the one safe place. You give your heart to the Lord, you hear about the Holy Spirit and the fellowship of the brothers, and you open yourself up in a way you've not done it before. You share yourself with a different type of transparency, and you know what? You take off your armor and in goes the knife. Greatest hurt. I thought this is a place of safety. The greatest hurts, arguably, happens in church, because it's not a place where you expect to have war come to you. But the church is broken because people are. How do we keep our love on? And so what we have is, on the internet, we've got people doing this the whole time. Don't listen to this guy's teaching. He's wrong. Don't listen to that guy. Have you seen this? And so we constantly have people measuring and bashing, measuring and bashing. And here's the thing. Some of the things they say are actually true. They're true because we just saw it. Judas, Peter, the disciples. But your worldview will determine what you do with that information. That is what the worldview does. And whether we have hearts that has been rebuilt by Christ. And so two people might look at the same data, but what you do with it is up to what the Spirit has constructed in your heart. And so my goal this morning is to build a Christ-centered worldview into us when we look at church with all its vulnerabilities, because we are the laborers. And when we go out of this building, we run into homes, into people that has experienced real hurt. You know what makes me nervous as a pastor? You guys. Because some of you come and meet and you say, you know, at my previous church, I was so hurt, and I'm just so glad finally I'm here. I'm like, shucks. Just welcome. We will speak again. Because here's the thing. Look, if the pastor does not offend you within the first couple of months, someone else will. You know, someone will not greet you. Someone will pull a face, but maybe they were just busy sneezing and you were walking past. You know, we need the right view of us. Isn't that true? I want to read us a story, and I'm going to make three things that I hope can be three windows for us to build a godly worldview. My heart for you is, if you're young and strong now and you are helping in church, maybe at the youth, and you've just started your relationship with a church, that when you are 80 or 90 years old, you'll still be here. Because I'm telling you, the next generation, the enemy is out to take them out of the church. Okay. In America right now, the first generation, we've got the first generation growing up now. They're having families now, where for the first time ever, the families did not go to church as a family. Okay, and South Africa's a little bit behind, but we're already seeing it. I'm running into young people now, they're young, that has never been to church. They've been de-churched, all right? And so we need to ask the Lord to help us because we are called to be master builders, all right? So we need to have our heads on the right way. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And so Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it. So I'm going to work through the Passover meal, but I'm going to put it together. Not everything, it's quite a rich piece, but this is a section about the perfect Christ meeting and spending time with his imperfect church. That's what this is. But not every gospel has a whole account. So I'm going to build it more or less chronologically out of the different gospels. So Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it. And they said to him, where will you have us prepare it? I'm going to go on. And during supper, I'm just skipping that part, but just note they were preparing a place. Now during supper, going to John 13, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So this is a church, not really a church yet, but it's people gathering together around Jesus, all right? And one is already demon oppressed, at least, if not possessed. How's that for a church? Okay. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and he had come from God and was going back to God. No, just stop there. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Imagine YouTube. Ah, don't go to church. Those people are demon possessed. Peter will forsake Jesus later that night. How many people do we have, at least told me, I was spending time with one this week, the best thing for me to do is to remain at home with my family. It's too broken out there. We have measured. And the way in which we expose ourselves by meeting like this is too much. We've had our hurts. We are at home now. We are our own church. Okay? Let's go on. Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. I don't want to interrupt myself too much, but this thing, the measuring tape or the ruler, it's very easy to pick up. It's very easy to point out that someone else's sin. My sin, that's not hard to find. Just pay attention. There's a lot. You know what's hard to pick up in the midst of a broken situation? This thing. This thing here. Because you see, the enemy wants to equip us with this. But Jesus wants to give us this. Please understand, I'm not saying wrong doctrine must be addressed. I'm not saying sin must not be repented of. To find what is wrong is one thing. It's what you do with it when you discover it. Is there a towel in our midst? By the way, this is very handy in your marriage as well. That's another sermon. Next May month. I mean, I don't even have to say a lot more. I think already there's something caught here. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Do you know who was sitting there? He hadn't left yet. Who do we get to serve here? and wiped them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, what I'm doing now, you don't understand. You have to understand, I don't want to be, this is not too much about the washing of the feet. I'm going on a broader theme here, but these guys, their feet was a story, okay? They were walking on the roads where animals were walking. That's why they had the lowest of servant helping people to clean their feet before they move into homes. They didn't have handy andy back then. So jy wil nie beespoefie onnodiglik in die kombuis invat nie. It's hard to clean, all right? And so they had people cleaning feet, atrocious, okay? And so, of course, Peter's like, what's going on here? But Jesus is building a worldview. That's what he's doing. He's putting a framework together to which he wants these guys to live going forward. Not in word only, but in deed. Some things can be taught, some things must be caught. Isn't that true? Jesus said, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. That's where he yields to Jesus. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. He knew. He knew about these things. But still, he became one with a towel, put it on his waist. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed to his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You are right, so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, because I've given you an example. I've constructed a worldview for you, a way to look at this mess. That you also should do just as I have done to you. At that moment, just after that, Jesus took a morsel of bread from Jesus and Judas left. Okay, what happened also that evening, just carrying on, but jumping to Matthew. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread and communion took place. He instituted communion. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now the betrayer has left, but the one whose faith will fail that night is still there. And at one stage, the scripture says, they all fled in Jesus' moment of capturing, okay? But now they're having communion. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you. Take part. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount Olives in the area die Popori fan gestrike. He was captured. And at that moment, they all fled and left him. Keeping your love on in an age of skepticism, how do we engage? I'm going to give you three things this morning, and I hope that this is as simple as it comes, but it's from the pen of Christ. And then we're going to pray together and ask the Lord to use us mightily in this town and in this world. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. You've got these bunch of sinners together. And you know what Jesus wants to do with them? Now, I want you for a moment to imagine some of your disappointments. And I know here it some of you, it hits very close to home. Because here we're talking maybe about a sibling that does not speak with you at the moment. And I want to be very sensitive around this because I know it cuts deep. Or maybe there's a relationship severed with a parent or with a child. With a betrayer. Peter, a coward. You know what Jesus wants to do? He wants to go and meet with them and eat. That's what he wants to do. And so what he does is he organizes supper, investing in fragile friendships. You know what the world tells you at the moment? Gooi weg. Draw a boundary. Never talk to them again. Never go back. Never engage. Want hulle is so. Jesus does things in a different way than this world. As simple as this part is, we read over, he wants to be with them and have dinner. You know how powerful this is? I want to tell you something. Please have grace on my example, okay? I'm not a Trump specific fan or advocate, but you know what? When the leftist media who was against Trump found out that one of their greatest content producers went to meet with Trump, they criticized him. Why? Because once you get into someone's presence, there's something about your heart that softens toward that person. You realize this net a mens. Ek het so oorlog in my kop teen hierdie ou gemaak. Ek het so my argumente agter mekaar gesit. Ek het wakker gelê in die aande. But when I stepped around the table with that person, something in me became soft. He organizes supper, investing in fragile friendships. Ja, maar die kerk het so baie foute en die mense is judgmental. You know what, I'm going to go and organize to meet with them and invest in my fragile friendships. You're actually absolutely right. Absolutely right. But my conclusion and what I will do is different than you because I view this from a different perspective. One day she will be perfect, the church, and every last tear will be wiped away. For now, I get to help where I can. And I want to tell you, some days it's hard. He shares intimate fellowship with flawed disciples. He shows us that true love doesn't unnecessarily abandon relationships. That's why the church can stand. Hebrews 10:25 is not on there. Do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. There's a man full of demons in the Gerasenes in Mark chapter 5. What does Jesus do? Run away from the man? I'll just stay away from that island. I was called, Artabatus in the graf. He goes to him. He organizes a meeting. Because there's something that happens when we come together and lower our defenses. It says something about carrying a towel. Are you with me this morning? I hope it helps us for ourselves, our healing, but also for some of our friends on the outside that just needs you to love and pray and share with them to rejoin God's army again. He rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel. There's that moment, and he tied around his waist, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. They've got dirt on their hearts. And they've got dirt on their feet. Both areas, inside and out. And you know what he does? He demonstrates radical and practical servanthood. Not afraid to touch and get involved. He does not come with a measuring tape only, but he comes with a cloth or with a towel. In this moment, before they're going to get to the spiritual stuff now. They're not having communion as of yet. You know what he's doing at the moment? He's practically touching their lives. Hey, look, I know it's not much, but I figured you guys might need a meal tonight. Here's just something. Hey, I know it's been going tough. Would it help if I bring the kids from sport? Can I drop them for you? What are you doing? You're washing feet. Okay? In people's lives who might have been going through relational breakdown, you are a glimmer of hope in practical service. Yes, these things are true. But let's put it down and pick something else up. As life gets faster, people are having conversations on their devices now, not even with other people in other countries, but just with AI. Where we are going right now, the world's going to ask us to change, to exchange the towel and pick up the measuring tape. Are you with me this morning? Okay. And I just want to speak pastorally on this for a moment. Some of you here, you are servant hearts. Julle is in kernhout, is julle dienaars. En daar was op jou getrap, so. Man, I'm sorry about that. But I want to ask you, please don't lose this. Please, because you know, when you were busy with us, you felt alive. You felt like you knew what to do. You had purpose in your life, but you were crushed. Your heart is gebrek, that's all right. Pick it up and follow his example again. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount Olives. What is he doing with them? He worships with his imperfect church. That's what he does. Have you heard this? This one pastor is well known, doesn't get on a plane with normal people because the demons will jump on him. Then we hear stuff like, if you go to that type of church, the demons will jump on you. Not in Jesus' worldview. Are you with me this morning? He worships them through their pain. He sets an example, and afterwards, they're still falling apart. So let's stay true to the call here. He worships with his... Now, please, I'm not saying join a church that preaches other stuff. Please, that's not what I'm saying. Okay? But even your church that really loves the word and seeks it, even them, they will disappoint you. That's what I'm after. And so here's our worldview. The towel in our midst. That's how you keep your love on in an age of skepticism, by putting yourself in Jesus' feet, seeing who was there and how he continued. Are you with me this morning? I want to pray. This morning, I want us to pray if you were crushed. I want you to be very bold this morning. I want to ask you just in a moment to come out that we can pray with you. You know what? If you got hurt in the church, God will send you back to receive your healing in the church. And for some of you, it's going to feel like deliverance. It's going to feel like there's weights that falls off your shoulders. But he's inviting you again. Want hier is in jou gesit. Then I also want to say this morning, we easily put ourselves in the position of the one that measures. But let me tell you something about me. When he measured me, there was no hope for me. And I don't know about you, but the Bible tells me you're the same. I just want to read that last scripture for us. But God shows his love. He keeps his love on for us, in that while we were still sinners, there's no measuring tape to measure what I deserve and what I've done. Yet someone walked into my life and washed me of my sins and washed you of your sins. That is why we can keep our love on, because we can remember. And from that place, love well. Isn't that true? let's stand this morning and ask the Holy Spirit to move in us what needs to be moved. You can stand, church. I want to be bold this morning, and I want you to be bold. Just close our eyes for a moment in this place. Let's allow God to work. Let's not be hesitant when He's working. If you are here this morning and you actually feel that you measure yourself and you just feel you fall so short and you don't even know how God can look at you with love, and you wrestle with that, I want to tell you why God can look at you with love. Because someone took your place. And when He died on the cross, here's what He offered. I want to extract your sins out from you. Yes, you committed them. Yes, they're yours. But I'm going to take them legally as if they're mine. And now, for those who come to Christ, when the Father looks at you, He looks at you through redemptive eyes. He loves you. But you have to accept Him and repent of your sins. And so if this morning you just want to come to Him and say, I've measured myself long enough. I want the grace of Jesus to count for me. Well, won't you just put up your hand this morning and say, this ekke. Ek is bangie, ek swoop. Is there any other hands? There's a couple of hands. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to do something very brave and come all the way to the front. And also a lot of facilitators, there's a couple of people. We're going to pray with you. Someone's going to come with a towel and love you this morning. One, two, three. Just take a step forward. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, guys at the back. I know for some of you it's a long walk. Don't be afraid. It's a walk of glory. Just face this way when you come, that we can know, make sure we can pray for you. The Lord is moving in this place. I don't want us to talk now or go out. This is a moment where the Lord is working and calling on people. I need more facilitators, please. And I'm going to make this call wider. I want to ask you if you know that the Lord has laid on your heart to serve, but you were crushed. And the people of God, they crushed your heart. They hurt you. It wasn't Jesus. You love Him. You know it wasn't Him. It was the people. And it's hard for you to pick up the towel again because of those injuries. I want to count to three. Quickly come to the front because something's going to shift this morning. It's going to... Daar gaan 'n gewig val. En van julle se koppe is besig. Dit hardloop. Dit maak jou moeg. The Lord wants to speak peace to you. One, two, three. Quickly come out. Thank you for your faith. Quickly come out. As he pop in with your skip, this is a moment. It's one prayer, it can make a massive difference. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Moenie bang wees nie. Us that's in the back, I don't want us to spectate, so here's what I want you to do, is to take a seat and ask your friend, what is the Lord saying to you this morning? Take a moment. We're going to take 3 minutes. We're going to spend another couple of minutes in front praying, but at the back, I just want to formally dismiss you. Bless you guys. See you soon again. You're welcome to fellowship at the back on the outside. Grab a coffee and make some space in the parking. Thanks so much.